So you're a couple of returns behind. You haven't filed. You know there's a balance sitting there, and every month you don't open the laptop, it feels like the number doubles. That's the person listening right now.
Right. And there's one thing in this data study that I want to say before anything else, because it changes how the next 20 minutes feel. The failure to file penalty stops growing after 5 months.
Wait, 5 months? That's it?
That's it. It runs 5% of the unpaid tax per month, and it caps at 25%. 5 months late, you're at the ceiling. So if you're 2 years behind, that particular penalty finished growing about 19 months ago.
Okay, so the thing people are most scared of is already done.
Already done and fixed in size. What's still moving is the failure to pay penalty and the interest. Failure to pay is 0.5% a month, and interest compounds daily on the tax and on the penalties.
Let's do the headline numbers. What did the IRS actually assess?
Fiscal year 2023, per the IRS data book, Table 26, about 3 million failure to file penalties on individual, estate, and trust returns, roughly $6 billion. Divided out, about $2,000 per penalty.
3 million penalties, $6 billion, 2,000 each. And in the data book, it's not even called failure to file, is it?
It's the delinquency penalty. Same thing, IRC 6651A1. Delinquent return just means late return.
And the abatement number. That's the one I'd want if I were the listener.
About 2 billion of that 6 billion came back off through abatement. Roughly 1 in 3 penalty dollars.
1 in 3. Say the caveat, though, because I know there is one.
There is. And the study is upfront about it. That's dollars, not cases. The share removed by count is lower because bigger penalties are the ones that get actively worked. And abatement dollars in one fiscal year can relate to penalties assessed in earlier years. So it's a picture of flow through the system, not a case-level success rate for you. What it tells you is that relief on this penalty is a normal part of how the system operates. It doesn't tell you what happens on your account.
Fair. Back up to the rate for a second, because I want to understand why this penalty is so much bigger than the other one.
10 times the speed. Failure to file is 5% a month. Failure to pay is 0.5% a month. Same balance, one of them builds 10 times faster. That's the whole explanation for why the average delinquency penalty is around $2,000, and the average late payment penalty lands in the hundreds.
And any part of a month counts.
Any part. One day past the deadline with a balance due, the first 5% is attached.
Okay, and when both penalties are running at once, I've seen people get confused here.
So in a month where both apply, the failure to file piece drops to 4.5%, and failure to pay adds 0.5%. Combined charge is 5% a month. That means if you also haven't paid, your practical failure to file cap is 22.5%, not 25%.
And the two together, long term?
Up to 47.5% of the unpaid tax. 22.5 plus 25.
There's also a floor for really late returns, right? Not just a percentage.
Past 60 days, yes. The minimum is the lesser of 100% of the unpaid tax or a flat inflation-adjusted amount. The article gives $485 for returns due in 2024, $510 for 2025, and $525 for returns due after December 31st, 2025. So, a small balance still produces a real penalty.
485, 510, 525. Got it. Can we walk the example in the article? Because abstract percentages don't land.
Hypothetical freelancer would have owed $9,400 on a return that's now 2 years late. Failure to file at 4.5% times 5 months, capped, $2,115. Failure to pay, 0.5% times 24 months, 12%, $1,128. Balance before interest,
$12,643. $12,643 on a $9,400 tax bill.
Before interest. And if there's a second unfiled year with a balance, that year has its own clock. 2 years like that is two separate 22.5% penalties.
Now the part that surprised me. The 10-year collection clock.
Yeah, this is the one people get wrong. The 10-year statute on collection runs from assessment. An unfiled year has no assessment, so there's nothing to run from.
Meaning waiting doesn't age it out.
Waiting preserves it, indefinitely. Meanwhile, the non-filer pipeline keeps moving. CP 59 first. That's the initial non-filer notice. Then CP 516 and CP 518. Reminder and final reminder. Then the IRS can build a substitute for return from your 1099s and W-2s.
And a substitute return is built how, exactly?
Single filing status, no dependents, no business expenses. For a freelancer, that means gross 1099 income taxed as if you had zero costs. Then CP 3219N, the statutory notice of deficiency, which opens a 90-day window to petition tax court before that inflated amount gets assessed.
90 days. And after assessment, it's just normal collections.
Normal collection stream, which ends in lien and levy authority. And debts assessed above $66,000, that's the 2026 threshold, can trigger passport certification.
There's also a quiet one running in the background.
Refund years. Any year the IRS owed you money, that refund expires 3 years after the original due date. Gone for good. No penalty on a refund year. The penalty is a percentage of unpaid tax, so zero tax means zero penalty. But you forfeit the money.
So file those first.
File those first.
All right, the relief paths. Where does that 1 in 3 actually come from?
4 main channels. Filing the return itself, which is free and stops the clock the day it's in, and if there's a substitute return on your account, your real numbers replace it, which shrinks the tax and therefore the penalty base. Then first-time abate, which requires your prior 3 years filed and penalty-free, and generally applies to 1 year. Then reasonable cause, serious illness, disaster, death in the family, records destroyed, reliance on bad professional advice. No year limit on that one, but documentation decides it. Dates, medical records, insurance claims.
And there's something new coming.
Automatic exemption from penalty, AEP. Starting summer 2026, it begins replacing first-time abate, and qualifying relief applies automatically with no request. So if you're filing catch-up returns in late 2026 or after, check whether a year was already covered before you spend effort asking.
Name the hard part for me. Honestly.
The removals concentrate in cases somebody actively worked. Multiple years where filing order and which year gets first time abate materially change the total. Substitute returns already on the transcript. Self-employment years with thin records where reconstructing expenses from bank statements decides whether the return shows $9,400 or twice that. And nobody can tell you in advance how the IRS will decide. What you control is whether the returns get filed and whether the request is properly documented.
And if it's one late year and clean history?
Then honestly, that's a do-it-yourself fix. File, request first-time abate, set up a short-term plan. Up to 180 days, no setup fee. The article says it straight. You don't need to hire anyone for that.
What about payment on what's left over?
Balances of $50,000 or less can go on an online installment agreement up to 72 months. Genuine hardship can be considered for currently not collectible status. None of those remove penalties, and interest continues under all of them. But an approved plan keeps enforcement off while you work the abatement side.
Next 24 hours, what do I do?
Pull your transcripts, wage and income, and account transcripts for every unfiled year. Look for two things: substitute return activity and penalties already posted. That tells you which stage you're in. Then gather your last filed return, every 1099 and W-2 for the missing years, and if you're self-employed, 12 months of bank statements per year.
IRS policy on how far back?
Generally the last 6 years to get back into compliance.
And if it's messy, multiple years, a substitute return, records you have to rebuild, that's when you call. Clarity's enrolled agents will do a free review, map which years to file first, and what the penalties actually total. 888-825-7779. State returns, by the way.
Separate. Own penalties, own schedules, own relief process through your state agency. These are all federal numbers.
Right. There's no printed deadline on an unfiled return. But failure to pay and daily interest post every month. And refund years hit that 3-year wall and stay there.